Go ahead and turn to John chapter 15. And as you make your way there, I want to make sure that I officially say thank you to something that I don't know if I've ever actually said thank you for this before. I don't know if I've ever vocalized it, but I want to thank you for the parsonage. Thank you for the place that Lori and I and Dixie and Daisy call home. And while it may seem like the most natural thing in the world for a lot of churches to provide the housing and the utilities for their pastor, I want you to know that it's a blessing that's not forgotten or taken for granted. Trust me, after 18 years of paying rent and paying utilities, I know exactly how big of a blessing that is, which is why I have the mindset that our home is your home. You are welcome in our living room. You are welcome at our table. If there were ever a situation where you needed a place to sleep, we have an extra room for you. And if you ever needed massive amounts of yarn, our yarn room is Lori's, and you'll have to ask her about that. But the rest of the house is yours. This year, due to the pandemic, I spent significantly more time in our yard than I have in the last few years, mostly just not didn't have the free time to work on some things. Taking out the hedges near the front door and replacing them with some of the daylilies that were in the backyard, actually hidden for a long time. I didn't realize they were back there that first year. So I took them, and they were planted years ago by a previous pastor's wife. When I shared the before and after pictures of changing around the front after getting rid of the hedges and planting those daylilies, Pastor Tim Stidham jumped in there. I said, "Hey, my wife planted those things in that backyard years ago." At that point, it would have been probably over 20 years ago. So we had that project going on. Thanks to some help from the Lowe's, we got the large wood pile cleared out along the back fence. Thanks to my next-door neighbors, their donation of a bunch of hostas, we end up transplanting a bunch of those around our deck there on the side of the house. So we have those will be wonderful when they start coming out in the spring. Thanks to a tree removal service, we removed a dying pine tree and large shrubs, and so the front yard looks a lot different. And along the way, Laura and I also transplanted a bunch of hostas, moving them around to different places in the yard. And then we got these four hydrangea plants that we put in the very front. And as soon as the cold weather came in, I got to looking out at those plants and the flowers, the blooms were already dead and dying. And so I knew I needed to figure out how to care for those plants because I honestly didn't. I never had hydrangeas. I didn't know what to do with them. And so I'm thankful for the internet giving me the knowledge I need from all of those, you know, master gardeners. With my little pruning clippers, I cleaned up our hydrangeas so that they can keep a really good shape and they can have some really big blossoms next year. And while I was pruning, I got to see the difference between the new growth on those plants that happened just this year since we planted them. The new growth had a nice little dark green, and it's kind of a little more of a bendy kind of a stem that's going on there. But the further down you go, you see it's a little wooded look to it. So it looks almost like a tree bark kind of thing as it gets hardened by the age. Next year, the new growth that I left after pruning will make the shift from being soft and green to hard and brown. And then by next fall, I will be able to see just how much new growth happened between the fall of this last year and fall of 2021. What a difference a year makes when a plant gets the care and the attention it needs. With that in mind, let's read from John chapter 15. Go ahead and stand as we read. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Be seated. in between the Elam building where I work most days and the Beth Shan building where I work from time to time, there's this little flower garden area that I walk by every single day numerous times. And it's one of those, it's like a flower garden area, and it has a large pergola. I had to look up the word. I didn't know what it was. It's a pergola. So you got these big wooden 4x4s or whatever that go way up. And so along that pergola, there's all of these vines, really, really big vines. So I don't know how old this thing is, but those vines have been wrapping around that pergola for years. And it's always amazing to me when I see something that looks dead and dormant for months, all of a sudden start to show signs of new life. Something that looks so dead for all the winter months, and it just looks like nothing good can come out of it. And all of a sudden, as spring gets going, you start to see some green show up. You start to see more leaves and flowers show up as well. The time of year in the springtime when the sap, the blood life of a plant, it starts to work its way back up through the vines, enabling them to bring forth life for a brand new season. Leaves and colorful flowers engulfing that entire structure. Like I said, it's a large structure and there's vines going all around it. And so all of a sudden it's nice and green with all these big blossoms on it. To be completely honest, this morning I want to be talking as little as possible. If I were to spend 30 minutes up here talking and the end result is just a one-way conversation where my words enter into your ears, that's not what I'm wanting this morning. That's never what I want on any Sunday morning, especially not a Sunday like this. On a day like today where we are renewing the covenant offered to us by the God of the universe, what we need more than anything is to hear the one who created us, the one who calls us to himself, the one who commissions us into his service for his purpose. What we need more than anything is for the source of life found only in Christ to make its way into each and every branch, into each and every life represented here this morning. Amazing things happen when the life of Christ is able to flow freely into our lives. Life is not something we have. Life is not something we own. Life is a gift that we receive from our Creator. And so this morning, in a very focused way, we turn to the giver of life and we say, we need to be joined together with you. Apart from you, we are dead. The covenant we're going to be reading together here in a bit is a part of that life-giving union. Just like the plants that show growth from one year to the next, we here at Calvary need to show signs of growth from one year to the next as well. We need to be able to look back over the course of a year and see where new growth happened and celebrate it. We need to be able to look ahead and pray for a new season where the source of all life empowers our activities and transforms our lives from the inside out. As it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I fell in love with basketball somewhere along the way, I got it in my head that I needed to get to 6'2". I don't know if I thought that was the ideal height to be able to play college basketball or to make it into having a successful NBA career. But imagine my disappointment when it became very clear that my growth spurt in the eighth grade that got me to 5'10¾" was the only growth spurt I was going to have, at least growing up. I've grown out since then, but I've not grown up since then. But here's the good news when it comes to spiritual growth. If you are firmly rooted in Christ and your desire is for more growth, by the power of God's Spirit, more growth is possible. There is no ceiling for you or for me. There's always more room to look more and more like Jesus. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you start to resemble him, and the more those areas that don't look like Jesus start to become painstakingly obvious. Going back to the marriage analogy that we used last week, being married for almost 17 years has changed me in some significant ways over those years. Along the way, my understanding of Lori has changed significantly over those years as well. With each new season in our marriage, I get to know her more and more, her hopes and her dreams, the things that cause her worry and stress, the things that annoy her. I always learn about those things, the things that bring her joy. But it's not enough just to know and learn about those things. Those things should shape how I behave for a very specific reason, because we are in a covenant relationship together. Our lives are merged together in a way where her desires become what my heart desires, in a way where the things that annoy her become the things I try to stop doing, in a way where the things that bring her joy become the things I start to try doing. That's how a marriage relationship is supposed to work. That's the same kind of dynamic at work when we find ourselves in a covenant relationship with Jesus. The true vine, his life becomes our life. His desires become our desires. Unfortunately, the first step into that kind of a relationship is a doozy. The first step is the step of surrender. In order for his life to become my life, I need to first surrender my life to him. In order for his desires to become my desires, I need to surrender my desires first, which is easier said than done. If marriage has taught me anything about myself, it is that I do not like to surrender. I am selfish. I want what I want when I want it. And if Scripture has taught me anything, it is that I am not alone in my selfishness. God's people time and time again wander off from God's covenant and away from God's life, following their own desires on the way to death. This morning, we're going to sing the song, I Surrender All, as a way to empty our hands. It's impossible to be a recipient of God's covenant if our hands are full, if our hands are clinging to things that pull our attention and our trust away from God. Our Heavenly Father is the perfect gardener who knows full well how to tend to our lives and prune our lives in order to make us fruitful in this world. So please go ahead and stand with me. Stand with open hands as we surrender to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask right now, as we prepare for the covenant that you have given as a gift to us, we do ask that your Spirit would do a work in our hearts, prepare our hearts and minds, and that we would let go of things we have no business holding on to, letting go so we can be the full recipients of the blessings you have for us through the covenant to which you are faithful. So this morning, we surrender all to you. Amen.